Detroit Beard Collective is a proud sponsor of Creaking Door Paranormal Radio, powered by SlackJawPunks.com.
Guys, tired of trying to make that burly beard of yours look and smell good? Then check this out. Straight out of the Motor City, where they know a thing or two about being tough, comes Detroit Beard Collective, specializing in making that facial hair look good with products like beard butter, beard oils and soaps, specialty combs, and so much more. Come check out the line today at DetroitBeardCollective.com. DBC takes pride in using Detroit and Michigan-based companies and ingredients in all aspects of their product development and manufacturing as they continue to build Detroit's premier grooming company. Even burly dudes like to look and smell good, and DBC will make that happen. Do yourself and your badass beard a favor and log on to DetroitBeardCollective.com and check out all the amazing products they offer. And when you're ready to check out, use promo code SJPDBC to receive 10% off. Detroit Beard Collective, cleaning this world up one beard at a time.
My, welcome back inside the Creaking Door. Tim Ellis and Brad Blair with you, back from at least a, what, 3-4 month hiatus at least, Brad?
Well, we only have about 2 months of summer here in Michigan's beautiful Upper Peninsula, so we need to enjoy it while we can. And just both of us had a lot going on, and
busy summer, one of the busiest ever.
Oh yeah, definitely. I had the big move, you had the big sex change operation, and
and it didn't take. That's the worst part about it. I'm still a dude.
Maybe next time you and Caitlin can get her hooked up. So
we'll try to make it work. I had one person over the summer ask me, did you guys lose the damn key to the creaking door? Why haven't you come inside? And we're like, trust me, we will be back. Yeah. And here it is, September now, one of the most beautiful times here in the UP, and we're getting ready for fall to set in. And we figured, you know what? It's time, man.
Perfect timing to kick things back off, get back into everything, and here we are.
Yeah, and what a summer it's been for us. Of course, the 7th Annual Michigan Paranormal Convention. Mm. Oh, man, our biggest, our best one yet. We're going to be talking about that one coming up a little bit later in the show, but right now, as we always do, we like to kick off, of course, our first segment of Creaking Door with Paranews. Bradley, so why don't you go ahead and kick it off today?
You and I, Tim, we always talk about how much putting law enforcement in front of the paranormal seems to legitimize things, mm-hmm. but this next story, it's from the New York Post, telling us how that doesn't always work in law enforcement's favor. A former Department of Veteran Affairs cop who lost his job after he reported seeing ghosts in the New Jersey hospital he was assigned has reached a settlement with the agency, his lawyer says. It rescinds Valdo Vejer's 2014 firing and allows him to retire, wipe out all disciplinary charges against him, and awards him back pay. Vejer, 50 years old, was sacked after he gave an interview to the Post claiming that the East Orange VA hospital was haunted. This seems strange to some people, but for religious Catholics like myself, many feel, as I do about this, that there are spirits in the world and they sometimes show themselves and are more likely to be doing this in and around hospitals where people suffer and die, he said in the interview. After the story was publicized, he was fired, ostensibly because he fell asleep at work, improperly used a worker computer,
hungover,
and refused to submit to psychological testing. It was the second time he'd been fired. That first time was in 2013 for alleged disciplinary infractions that he claimed were bogus. A federal judge agreed with him in his claims that he lost his job because he was a whistleblower after reporting misconduct.
And
yeah,
Brad, sorry. Yeah. So I don't. Got a phone call coming through here.
Right now.
Coming into the studio. Hold tight. Look at the caller ID.
Oh,
look
God,
who it is.
No. No.
He knows we're in the studio right now.
Can we just
live.
Keep going and ignore this or answer it?
You know, if we don't answer now, he's going to call all show.
No, go ahead. Answer it.
Let's bring him in. Hello, George. You there?
Is there any way you guys could wrap it up? I've been on hold 15 minutes now for my pizza order. So, I'd like to get the large cheese well done as soon as possible.
Lopez, you got the wrong number.
Oh, God. Just making a little bit of a joke. You know, I cannot say how thrilled I am to be on the air with Bradley Cooper and Tim Allen from Tool Time. Thank you guys for inviting me on.
Restraining order doesn't work over the phone, apparently.
I don't know how we're going to explain to the cops he broke it. I mean, it's through the airwaves. All right. Well, nonetheless, as long as we got you here, ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to welcome for the first time ever inside the creaking door.
Second time.
Yeah. Second. Yeah, that's right. It is a second. He was with Andrea.
Author.
That's right.
Radio host.
I love him that much.
Crochet master.
Yeah. Here he is, Mr. George Lopez. Welcome back, sir, inside the creaking door. And please forgive my memory for forgetting that this is not your first time here.
We're trying. Nah. We're trying to forget the first time. I think it's worked for Tim, apparently. Not so well for me.
It's all right. You guys have been going nonstop since the Paracon, which was a phenomenal event. Had a great, great time out there with you guys. And, when you drink as much moonshine as both of you guys do, it will affect your memory over time.
Well, we're drinking right now, too, so that doesn't help. Wow. So that adds to it. But for those who have not had a chance to meet George yet, I'm sure you've heard him at least one time or another. As for many, many years, he kind of blazed the trail doing paranormal radio via the internet before it became huge. And he is retired now from Dead Air Paranormal, George. And first of all, you know, on behalf of Brad and I, who are now doing a paranormal podcast, for someone like you who has been doing it way before it became so popular to do it, thank you for being one of the trailblazers out there.
What was it, George? 8 years? 8 years you ran on that?
Yes, sir. Eight and a half years that, and it started off as, again, just something that one of my team members introduced me to a webcast radio show called Block Talk. Mm-hmm. And we went from there, starting with the show Dead Air. And, my travels, luckily, at the time going across the country, all these great super haunts and all these great events, I got a chance to meet some of the movers and shakers in the field. And over that time, built great relationships. So I figured nobody gets a chance to really see behind the scenes what these individuals are about. You think of John Zappas with his sense of humor, Matt Wilson, and his extraordinary stories. He's an incredible person. So doing this show allowed people to listen in and talk to sometimes these individuals that they only see on television. So it was, it was a great direction to go with. And I'm very proud of what we did over those 8.5 years, all the wonderful hosts who joined in over time. And, but it was time to move on and to pass the torch. And I couldn't think of anyone better to take those reins than you two gentlemen. And I appreciate everything.
Well, we are definitely kicking you out the door as the car is driving down the road because we're ready to take over. No, that's fantastic. Like, you were out there blazing the trail for something like this long before. And you're absolutely right, George. What these type of shows do is it really does allow you to get to know that other side of these paranormal celebrities, because all you ever see is 30 minutes of edited footage for most of them on TV. Some of them even less if it's a 15-minute interview on one of the programs. But this really allows the fans and the listeners to get inside. But have you started to have that retirement withdrawal yet?
I'll tell you what, I haven't as much as my partners, Ken DaCosta, who's been with us the last year from Rise of Paranormal, and Mike Bowler, who's been with me for the last 4 years out of Dallas-Fort Worth Ghost Cowboys, that the very first Monday after we concluded the series, the show, that I'm getting the Facebook group message from the both of them posting things they're finding newsworthy about the topics of the field. I'm like, you guys are jonesing right now. We're not going back to it again. It's nice to have that downtime right now. It really is. And, talking serious for a second, too, in the last half a year, I would say, we really got into the depth of moving this field forward. There are a lot of things in this field that need to change. Even when I was on stage with Andrea there in Michigan for the Michigan Paracon, I brought this up and I said, we've been doing it a disservice for the community. We've really not pushed the field forward. And in the last decade or so, so many new teams and new concepts and new procedures and new equipment. yet we're still not advancing this field. It's all about the race to the trophy, who gets the best piece of evidence that might get them notoriety or some TV time. And I just went on a rant. And the more we went into the seriousness of this field and where we need to move it forward, the smaller the audience became, because they wanted to be entertained or scared. Mm-hmm. And that just wasn't the direction we felt like going. So we felt it was time to hang up our hats and move on from there.
Well, Tim and I have talked about this for years, too. It's been such a double-edged sword, because our team, the UP Paranormal Research Society, we've been doing this for 16 years as a group, prior to that, for years before that, Tim, myself, and Steve LaPlante. But it's great in the fact that it's brought a lot of publicity to the field. It's given some people kind of that outlet that they can see they're not the only ones having paranormal experiences. We have a lot of people that prior to the television shows were afraid to come forward and tell us that their house might be haunted, they may need some help. But then, as you just said too, all of a sudden you've got all of these teams that have no other experience outside of learning from the television shows, which are there for entertainment. And all of a sudden, we went in Michigan. I know when we started up, I believe there were 7 or 8 teams in the state. Now there are over 100. And I think every small town has its own team, at least for a year or two. And then they realize it's not all fun, games, excitement, and they deteriorate and go away. So you've got that side of things. But it's also definitely been good publicity-wise, I think, for the field to move forward. As far as technology and all, I think that can be argued both ways.
Yeah, I would agree. What's the hardest part? And again, kudos to a team such as yourself to do what you've been doing for such a long period of time. Because again, these teams do come and go, but what I always worry about is the damage that they do. Again, these people Absolutely. Who are opening up their homes, opening up their hearts, letting their troubles become, well, I don't want to say public, but they're bringing it to strangers and holding the responsibility of this in the hands of strangers. And then these people come in, put on one hell of a show. They're going to have some sort of a pilot series that they can do on Destination America. So they put on all the dramatics and they scare the hell out of these families. And then 8 hours into the investigation, they say, "Hey, good luck, guys. Thanks so much." And dangerous.
Yeah. It really is. And you know, we were seeing that even when the television craze first started. You saw that already mm-hmm. happening, and it's only gotten worse as more and more of the programs have come out. George Lopez, paranormal researcher and longtime host of Dead Air Paranormal, now retired from that show, is our guest right now in this first segment of Creaking Door Paranormal Radio. Now, George, what is next on the horizon for you? If you've pulled away from Dead Air Paranormal, are you going to continue to do your own version of research and really kind of try to take that next step forward now that that obviously this field has come to a bit of a standstill?
Florida is a hotbed for UFO activity. I'm going to attempt to be abducted. It's the only way we can move this field forward is to be captured and see if I can convince them to let loose and let everybody know what the true facts are behind extraterrestrial abduction. So I'm hoping to have that done in the next 2 or 3 days.
Now, George, you make this sound like you've never been abducted before, but if you've met you, people may doubt that.
But at that time, I was much younger, and I didn't have the great, great camera I have on my phone now, so I've got an Android, so I think it'll be much better to prove it.
And it's waterproof, right?
That's the important part, yeah, because that's where they start off at, all the Great Lakes, so we'll check it. Right. I mean, for me, I did a video just recently about something called the collective consciousness, and I think that it's kind of overturned this field a little bit, where I truly believe the experiments have done 12 to 18 different experiments with different groups each time. The abilities that we all inherently have, that we can connect to spirit, that we can actually experience visually with our mind's eye, with our third eye, the spirit connection. And these experiments have been fantastic. You can actually find it on YouTube, Collective Consciousness Experiment. Just type that in, you'll be able to find it. And it's shown, again, to be successful. Not going to make the psychics happy because they've kind of cornered the market. I think we all have that ability. So we'll wait and see as we push this forward and see what happens if this connects and goes on from here. We're going to be doing some more experiments here in the future. But I'll keep you guys posted. Hopefully something will come of this that we'll be able to make contact with our loved ones and people of the past and get their stories and be able to get a little bit closer to the other side.
Well, that's not just taking the next step forward. If you're able to continue in that that direction, George, that's going to bust the door down to the next level of paranormal investigation. So we wish you the best of luck in that, and please keep us updated on how that's going. Obviously, we'll follow you on Facebook and social media and whatnot, and I'm sure you'll keep your travels at least somewhat on the Facebook area.
Well, yeah, I mean, in between the hurricanes we're having here in Florida now, yeah, I'll make my appearances when necessary and when deemed to be just to shake up the field again. I'll jump into some kind of a social media perspective and make everybody a little bit uneasy, because I don't mind doing that in this field, because I think that's more of what we need to do. And I'll tell you something, Tim, Brad, you guys are probably a couple of the individuals I know in this field that are very straightforward, no nonsense, you know, but you keep that good sense of humor, which you need to have to begin with. I love the fact you go from that same perspective is, you know, let's just tell it as it is, and if things aren't working, we're going to shake this up and keep going forward. So, again, your voice out there in this field, in this community, is so critically important.
Well, we do appreciate that, George, and we honorably take the torch from, you know, all the airs that Dead Air Paranormal was on and spreading the word, and we'll do our best to continue in that vein, to continue to tell the real story and share the real adventures and, you know, call the bull crap when it's bull crap and shed the light when we need to. So we do appreciate that. George, real quick before we let you go here, because I think your pizza's probably there by now. For someone who is listening and they've heard us over the years talk about the Michigan Paranormal Convention, you had your first chance to experience it this year. Just kind of give us a quick recap for someone who's listening who hasn't been there, what MI Paracon was all about.
Let me tell you, anybody who's not gone to this, and again, I missed out last year when Andrea had gone, and she raved about this and just said it was the best, most incredible event. And I'm sitting there going, well, there's so many huge events out there. How can you gauge it? And I went, and let me tell anybody and everybody, if you've not booked in to go to one of these events in the past, book for the next year. Book it as soon as possible, as soon as Brad and Tim put any information out there. Those tickets. It is a absolute fun love fest, a gathering of great minds and fun times, great lectures and speeches, great vendors. Location could not be any more beautiful. This location was designed for a paranormal event of this magnitude, and the auditorium and the receptions from all the different people who attended there. I mean, lines around the corner to get in before each speaker actually approached and got on that stage. So this was, to me, an absolute eye-opening experience, and anybody else who wants to really get to the core of what this field can provide and present, this is the event that you want to attend.
Well, George, thank you so much for those kind words. We do appreciate it. And thank you so much for being with us this year. We wish you the absolute best in what you're going to continue to do in the field and in your work. And, you know, there's always room here on the airwaves if you want to come back. The field will welcome you back with open arms. But until then, you've always got a spot here. If you want to come on and talk about something and spread the word, George, you always have an open mic here in Creaking Door, all right?
You don't put pineapples on a pizza.
I just
so much,
agree with
man.
You.
I got to run.
All right. All right.
Thanks,
George. We'll see you. Bye-bye.
Do you love your horror films, comic books, and TV shows served up with a side of what the f***? Then we have the place for you.
Slackjaw Punks!
Yeah, slackjawpunks.com. We dare you to check them out. A podcast that focuses on all the new horror films, comic books, and TV shows, and interviews with the authors and directors, but covered only the way the guys from
Slackjaw Punks
can do it. Plus, you can enjoy written commentary on all of the new stuff, too, from a whole slew of staff writers. So stop wasting time and check it out.
Slackjaw Punks!
Slackjawpunks.com. Serving it up with a side of what the f***?
And welcome Welcome back inside the Creaking Door with Tim Ellis and Brad Blair. So good to be back inside the studios as we've taken pretty much the summer off and enjoyed it. It was busy. We had a great time, Brad, but it's feeling good to be back in the studios for sure.
It is. Perfect time of year for it, too. Kicking things back off in the fall, heading in towards that Halloween season.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why we couldn't be more excited to welcome our guest and the first guest back from our 3 to 4 month hiatus. He's a gentleman we've had inside the Creaking Door before. We just got a chance to spend a weekend with him here at the Michigan Paranormal Convention. Always one of our favorites to have in and always one of our favorites just to talk to. The man, the myth, the legend, in our minds, Mr. John Zaffis. John, thank you so much for coming back inside the Creaking Door.
Hey, it's good to be back on, guys, and good to talk again.
And we, yeah, exactly. It seems like it was just a few weeks ago, and it actually was. And we know how busy this time of year is, too. It's September, October. You know, we always, the kind of the inside joke in the field is, you know what, we know hauntings and ghosts are here 365 days a year, but for whatever reason, people think they, you know, only exist September and October, and then our schedules just fill right up.
Mm-hmm. It gets crazy and bizarre, but again, you know, I'm happy about it. You know, I get to go out and do my conventions and do my different universities and get to intermingle with everybody. So I always look forward to it. But I'll tell you what, when November rolls around, about mid-November, things slow down and I'm a happy camper. And then I take a few weeks off.
Well, Tim and I have always talked about when we were kids growing up, the only time you would see anything revolving around the paranormal was the month of October, and you'd turn on the TV and your uncle Ed and Lorraine Warren, they'd be on. You would see Hans Holzer making appearances, but outside of that, once you got past those Halloween weeks, everything kind of dried up. Now it's kind of went the other way in a big way.
Oh, I agree. Again, it's no longer just about October. You know, the majority of us, I think a lot of us with the conferences and doing different events and everything, I find I'm more busy, you know, in the summertime doing them than I am, you know, in the fall. So I don't look at it that way anymore because, again, it's like all year long, you know, people accept the paranormal. They're always happy to come out to the conventions and go to the different things, intermingle, and have a good time. And, you know, I look forward to it because it's like Halloween all year long for us.
That's exactly it. And, of course, one of the reasons we can watch paranormal shows all the time now is because of a channel called Destination America. And that has given a new life, a resurgence into haunted collectors. So that's got to be exciting for you.
It is. And again, usually with your reruns or anything, no matter what type of show it is, you know, you'll hear people talk about it and go back and forth. But we gained a whole brand new audience. A lot more people are watching it. They're viewing it differently than they did before, which to me is exciting because it's they're understanding it a lot more. And I have person after person come up to me and talk to me about that, you know, and say, you know, I look at it differently now, and I always say, why? And they'll go, because we got a better understanding of what you're doing and how you're doing it and why you're doing it. So it's been like a rebirth of it, and that's the way I look at it. It amazes me that, you know, over the past couple of months, every Tuesday is Haunted Collector Marathon.
Wow.
So, and again, with that, you know, that's a fantastic thing. And knowing, speaking and dealing with a lot of the people at Destination America, you know, that run the network and everything, fantastic people. I've intermingled with them, associate, you know, at different things. And they tell me they are even taken back a lot of times at the numbers that Haunted Collector gets on there.
So has there been any talk with Destination America about possibly revising the show for new episodes?
It's a difficult thing. It's a hard thing because it's already something that's established. It's very costly to do something to bring it back again. And as, again, looking at it from my perspective, I'm not all that crazy about being out on the road for months at a time. So right at this point, just doing the specials and, you know, going on other people's shows, guest appearing is what I'm comfortable with right at this point.
So at the Michigan Paranormal Convention this year, John, which, by the way, we're always happy to say that you are the one and only presenter who has made it 7 years of all 7 years of Michigan Paranormal Convention. That should show you just exactly the level of respect that we have for you, sir. And, you know, but what was really cool this year was the second effort of you and Rosemary Ellen Guiley coming together for a wonderful book. Last year, you guys had Haunted by the Things You Love with us. This year, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure that was the first debut of the book, was it not? Of the new one called Demon Haunted?
Yes, and it was received very well. I could not get over the amount of people that purchased it and read it within 2 days. And the feedback has been great on it. So collaborating and doing things with Rosemary, you know, is one of the best things. I mean, you deal with a phenomenal individual, you know, 100-plus books to her credit. And what's cool about Rosemary is she can interpret my English. And that's a very difficult thing to do.
And she can read between the curse words too, right?
Yes, yes. She can really, you know, we can sit down and we can talk, and she can interpret what I'm trying to get across to her in, you know, terms that she can write a story about. So that's a phenomenal thing.
So how does that work dealing with Rosemary? Because my train of thought is what I can see happening is Rosemary's sitting home, hears her doorbell ring, and here's Zaff is standing on the porch with the box of files and saying, "Here you go, Rosemary. Call me when the book's done."
That'd be fantastic. And that would be good to be able to do that, but not with Rosemary. You know, basically, you know, we'll sit down and just brainstorm on different topics, different things to talk about, and we'll take it from there. I'll do a little write-up on a few things here and there and, you know, present it to her, and then we take it that step further where we sit down and talk about it and what my feelings were, what it was about. And again, like I said, she's able to take a lot of that and just pull it together and make it a story that, you know, people are very interested in reading and getting involved with, continue to read the books that her and I have been doing, because at this point in time, who knows, before the both of us are out of here, we'll probably have a few more books to our credit.
That's what we like to hear.
Yeah. One thing I'm really enjoying with this book now too, John, with Demon Haunted, it's not just stories of haunted items, but you've also got write-ups on what causes or what potentially causes items, homes, and even land to become haunted.
Yes. I thought it was a unique perspective to put the twist on it. And when Rosemary was doing the proposal on doing some of the different things and intertwining and adding it, you know, I was very happy, you know, and I'm like, okay, people need more. They're looking for more. So, you know, let's give it to them. And be quite honest with you, it took a lot for her to convince me into, you know, delving into my personal life and to talking about, you know, a topic of the spirit communications that transpire with family members. And it was something, the way she proposed it to me was, John, people have to know, people have to understand this, that it's not you going out looking for Ed Warren. Ed Warren follows you all over the place.
So, yeah, and
you know, again, from the perspective of the way she did the chapter up on it, I was thrilled to death with it.
It's got to be good for you, too, I would think, to a point, to see Hollywood finally accepting the Warrens and their work, and at least giving their spin on it, because one thing that took me aback going over some of the surveys from this year's Michigan Paracon was we had a handful of surveys that where it asked who they would like to see present next year. We had Ed Warren in there a good half a dozen times.
Whoa, I'm not sure how we're going to pull that one off.
Exactly. Ed Warren and Sylvia Brown, I think, was another one we had a few requests for. So,
Well, I'm sure if my uncle was around, he'd get a big kick out of these conferences these days. You know, I think he would. I think he would you know, and I often think about that and take that step back because, you know, he went down in 2001 and we didn't have the popularity like we have today.
Right. Right.
So I often wonder, and I think about that, how would he react with these conferences? How would he react, you know, with the all the TV shows? It's just stuff that goes through my mind and often wonder how he would be viewing it today.
Yeah, and there's no doubt he would be he'd be one of the big names that people would have been calling in for every convention. I mean, there's no getting around that. He was one of the trailblazers out there, and that's pretty special lineage to be from John. That's pretty cool. So
yes.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. And so at the Paracon this year, we had you and Chip Coffey paired together on the stage. And boy, oh boy, did that create some energy in that room. Holy cow.
Boy, did it ever.
Yeah, I mean, and we even talked before, you know, we were talking and going back and forth. And I'm like, John, do you and Chip, you know, do you want me to come out? Do you want me to moderate it? Do we want to just let this flow? Chip was kind of, I think he wanted more of a moderation. And you were finally like, let's just go with it. Let's let it flow. And we did. We opened up the gates. And
boy, was it a great time.
It was. I mean, people had a great time. It got borderline crazy for a bit, but it all kind of wrapped around nicely. But that was the first time, and that was something special for us too at the convention, for the first time to bring two names like that, Chip Coffey and John Zaffis, together on the stage to share experiences.
Yes, and again, it was a very comfortable feeling. And you know, Chip's a personal friend; he always will be. Him and I have no problems talking about anything. I don't care what it is.
We, you know, that was obvious.
We just talk.
Yes.
We talk about it. And to me, the key thing with any of us, I think they like to ask a lot of different questions, sometimes a little bit bizarre questions, mm-hmm. but they like to throw out, you know, a lot of different things. And I think that opens up the door for other things that you usually don't talk about. And I did find that happened with Chip and I when we were up there speaking. We got to talk about several different things. We usually just don't go down that road. And I can't tell you in any circumstances besides that one where I sat there and I was laughing several different times and I couldn't stop laughing.
I think the entire theater was lit up that way, though. It was great.
Yeah, there really was a special energy. You could feel it. You could feel it in the air. There was an energy in that theater at that time when you and Chip were together.
It was great. It was phenomenal. You know, like I said, a lot of the different things, you know, just throwing it out, different things would just get me hysterical, or the way Chip would respond or something, and I would just fall out laughing. So again, it was dynamite. It was great because it was so relaxed, and Chip and I were just Chip and I, like we'd be sitting talking.
Yeah.
So it was fantastic.
One thing I don't think a lot of people realize too, though, is you have worked with Chip behind the scenes on haunting cases. This wasn't just hey, let's throw these two guys together and see what happens. You guys have a professional relationship, and I know we talked a little bit backstage, and I don't know if it ever came out on stage this year, but you and Chip had just recently been working on a darker haunting case, I believe, down in Florida. Is that still ongoing?
The case is that we had clergy with us when I had gone down to work with Chip. A priest came in also, too, and he did the house blessing and did several of the things that he needed to do. But again, too, a lot of times people don't realize with a lot of us, you know, we do work together behind the scenes. We do work on cases, or, you know, we will talk to each other about something we're involved with. And Chip and I go back and forth quite often about cases.
And that was actually going to be my next question to you, John. And so thank you for kind of painting that picture for our listeners, because I think a lot of people, you know, they see you guys on TV. That's all they know of you or Chip is the television persona. But I think it's refreshing for a lot of them to understand that once the camera lights go off, you guys are still out there. Obviously, you were before the popularity ever hit, but you're still out there doing your thing. And, you know, I think for some, don't let this go to your head, but I think for some, seeing just John's feet come together, it's kind of like watching Batman and Superman come together to fight the forces of evil, you know? I mean, in a way, I think that's kind of what it is. So I think it's pretty neat when people get to see. How does that happen? Does Chip just pick up a phone and say and invite John Zaffis to come on an investigation? How does that work?
Usually it starts with, "Hey, you, what you doing?" And I go, "What do you want, Chippy?" That's usually how it starts.
Okay. Yeah.
And then, you know, we'll get into it. We'll start talking about it, and you know, get to that level where, okay, you know, what do you want to do? You want to move forward, or you want to see what could be done just from a local perspective down there? And this particular case in Florida, he was already there. He had been there prior to him and I and the priest going. And he goes, there's just something, there's a few other avenues to this. And he goes, I'd really like it to come along, you know, from your perspective. He goes, with the demonology end of the work. And that's how I ended up pulling together with them on this last venture that we did.
John Zaffis is our guest right now inside Creaking Door Paranormal Radio. He is the godfather of the paranormal, and it's great to have him inside, back with us here inside the Creaking Door. Now, John, we talked a little bit about your new book, Demon Haunted, and we don't want to get too much into that. Obviously, it's a brand new book, hot off the presses just about 3 weeks ago, so a lot of people still have not read it. But you and I were chatting a little bit at the Michigan Paranormal Convention a few weeks ago, and you were saying the one book that you can't believe that still sells year after year is your Shadows of the Dark book. What do you think it is about that book that people still want to buy after all these years?
I had a conversation with Rosemary about it, and I said to her, I said, that's, you know, 10 years later, I said, it's a book that people are still interested in picking up. And, you know, as we were talking, going back and forth, and she goes, John, I think it has that perspective in it. And, you know, that Brian McIntyre, again, he was able to be around me and figure out some of the different things and be able to put it into a perspective. I think that's one of the key things, because people always say, oh, somebody told me they read this and this book is dynamite with trying to comprehend and understand some of this from the demonology end of it. So I feel that has a big tie-in with it, and Rosemary will tell you she insists that it's the title.
One thing about Rosemary, and anyone that follows her on social media or through her writings, especially in the last 5 years, she is so into this djinn phenomena. And to mm-hmm. me, I don't. It seems like it's splitting hairs on demons to a point. But what are your thoughts on the djinn?
Well, it's something when she first got involved with it, and we were having a telephone conversation. And I said, Rosemary, I said, it's really something that people don't comprehend or understand that. And I said, it's a very difficult thing. And at that point, that's when she said to me, she goes, well, she says, I'm going to come forth and, you know, do a book on it. And she says, I'm doing a lot of research on it. It's something I've dealt with, you know, prior to it being brought out to the forefront with dealing with it. Do I feel that djinn or djinn, whatever, which way you want to call it,
right,
exists? Do I think these things are around? Yes. And the way I interpret it, and most people do, they pre-exist anything that was on Earth, meaning animals, people, anything. So they are a very intelligent realm to deal with, because there's three categories when dealing with things, especially on the demonology end, and that's the djinn, the deities, and what we call devils and demons.
So they've got a category all their own then, which is pretty,
yes,
that's scary and pretty eye-opening at the same time.
It is. And again, too, you know, people, you know, try to comprehend and understand that whole perspective of it. And I will definitely give big kudos to Rosemary for bringing that to the forefront so that people had a better understanding of it.
Let's get your thoughts now then, John, on another subject matter that never seems to go away, but every now and then it gets a resurgence. Thanks to people like Rosemary. Thanks to people like Robert Murch. And again, now Rosemary just collaborating on another book on the Zozo phenomena, which of course dates right with the Ouija. What is your thoughts on that in Zozo?
Zozo, again, is one of those type of situations. I've heard of this. I've dealt with it prior to it literally coming to the forefront. You know, Daryl, I dealt with when the case was going on, helped them, you know, deal with it. Why this particular name associates just with the Ouija board is something that is very difficult for any of us to comprehend and understand, but it just seems that, you know, over the course of the years, whether you want to call it a demon or a deity, I feel it's more of a deity than anything else.
Okay.
But people, you know, just seem to have this phenomenon happening. Gosh, I remember working on cases with Ed and Lorraine Warren where Zozo came up.
Really?
And this is, you know, yeah, this is going back, you know, years where that name would come up and it would always be associated with the Ouija board. And as Rosemary and I were speaking, I remember saying that to her. I go, yeah, there was 4 or 5 cases with Zozo, with Ed and Lorraine that I remember tying in with.
Wow. Yeah, and I guess it's just a matter of, you know, much like any of the stories that have eventually became pop culture, like Zozo is now, everyone had experiences with it. It was just a matter of enough stories coming together where people really started to share it on a national level.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think that's what we're seeing now with Zozo then, especially, you know, you and your aunt and uncle experiencing it way back when as well, so... That's very interesting to hear. So we're coming up on the Halloween season. It's going to be busy for you doing your lecture series, then the holidays, and we know you love to cook. Anyone who follows you on Facebook, you love to have your family over for the holidays. You deck out for Christmas. You're going to enjoy the holidays. 2017 rolls around. What is on the docket for John Zaffis for 2017?
Lecturing, hoping for 2 more additional books to come out. Two other projects that I've been working on, one with Rosemary and another one with Larry and Debbie Elward, whom I've worked with for the past 40 years. And Debbie was just compiling a whole bunch of stories, and at one point, about a year ago, she said, read some of these. And I did, and I went, oh, my God, how long have you been doing this? And she goes, for eons. I said, let's throw it together as a book. So, you know, two of the priorities is the next couple of books to get those squared away and hopefully get those out for next year. And, again, just keep trucking, keep moving along, and keep lecturing and having a good time.
Are we going to see your face appear on television anytime over this holiday season, over Halloween season?
Yeah, there's 3 different specials that I filmed as a guest on Nick Roth and Katrina's Halloween special. There's a couple of other ones that I can't mention that, you know, hopefully they'll definitely air in October. From what I've been told, at least one of them will be. So there's at least 3, you know, guest appearance shows that I will be popping in on or showing up on in the month of October.
All right, John, one last question. We'll let you go. Is there anyone in the field you've been around? You are so well respected within the field. You've worked with so many other great investigators. Is there anyone yet in the field that you haven't had a chance to work with yet that you would like to at one time?
Many. There's so many different people out there. That are within our field that we've just never had an opportunity. It's so difficult for me to pick one particular person. I'll tell you the one person I wish I did have the opportunity to meet, and believe it or not, I never met him, was Hans Holzer.
Really? Wow.
I've read his books,
yeah,
but I never had that opportunity, and that's one person I wish I, you know, and he lived in New York City, and it just never, ever happened where the opportunity came up to meet him.
But the cool thing is you and his daughter get to hang out.
Alexandra, I do know her. I've had an opportunity to work with her a couple of different times, and fantastic individual.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Well, John Zaffis, thank you so much, my friend, for coming inside the creaking door with us. It's always great to sit down and talk. Have a wonderful Halloween season and holiday season and new year, and we'll be in touch.
All right, my friends, thanks for having me on, and we'll see you guys soon.
Sounds
thanks,
good.
John.
There we go. John Zaffis, you too. The godfather of the paranormal coming inside the creaking door. Always great to get a chance to talk with him, Brad. We could talk forever with him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and he'll definitely be back inside the creaking door sometime, probably in the not-so-distant future.
Absolutely. And now we're going to take a break. When we come back for our third and final segment, we're going to have a third guest with us as well. We wanted to come back big for our first show back. We're going to talk Haunted Mackinac Island. What a wonderful location it is. And no one knows it better than Todd Clements.
No, and if you're not familiar with it, you're about to learn.
That's right. That's coming up next inside the creaking door.
Now that's a drink I can sink my teeth into.
Get ready to enjoy the most unique cola experience you've ever had with Dead World Zombie Soda. With spine-tingling flavors like Orange Roamer, Goon Bitters,
Cherry Cola,
Brain Sap,
Cream Soda,
Grizzly Swill.
Great.
12 different flavors you won't forget from Dead World Zombie Soda. Check them out at deadworldzombiesoda.com to find out where you can stock up just in time for the zombie apocalypse. Dead World Zombie Soda. All natural for the unnatural. Don't be afraid to grab a cold one.
And welcome back inside Creaking Door Paranormal Radio. Tim Ellis and Brad Blair with you, lining up here for our third and final segment already of our first show back from a summer vacation, if you will. Bit of a hiatus for us. But the good news is, Brad, the people kept asking. We kept getting the messages. They kept going to the head of slackjawpunks.com. They're like, when are they coming back? When are the guys coming back? So
they did.
We feel the love.
What is wrong with these
yeah,
people?
Yeah, we thought for sure they'd say, thank God they're gone. But
I'm sure there's a few of those out there, too.
Well, surprise, we're back. But usually in our third segment, we usually like to do our mailbag and Casper or camera segment. But because this is our first show back and we're kind of doing it bigger, a big splash to come back with, we've had three guests this evening, and we're very excited to welcome inside the Creaking Door for our third segment this evening, a gentleman who we've gotten to know over the years through just some paranormal investigating and the fact that he's kind of the king. I have dubbed him the king of one of my favorite places on the planet, and that is the wonderfully haunted Mackinac Island. We want to welcome in the owner of Haunts of Mackinac and also the author of two books,
Haunts of Mackinac and the recently released Haunts of Mackinac, The Next Chapter,
Mr. Todd Clements. Welcome inside the Creaking Door, sir.
Hello, everybody.
It's so wonderful.
I'll step down from the throne for a moment.
There you go.
We do appreciate it. Thank you for taking time, Your Highness.
Sure.
We do appreciate
sure,
it.
Sure, sure.
So it is coming to that time of year, though, where it's always kind of sad, that energy. Well, there's always an energy about the island, no matter what time of year you're there. But the energy of the excitement of the tour season is starting to come to an end. I was just over there last week for a meeting, a work meeting, and even then you could start to feel that energy dwindle down now. How does that feel for you, for a man who his summers are made on the island because of the haunted walking tours and the books? Is this a crash for you, kind of almost a hangover coming?
Actually, I look forward to opening every spring and every fall. I'm like, how much longer? I'm ready to take a break. I need a break.
Understandable.
Right. So for those of us, those listening in tonight that might not know about Mackinac Island, why don't you tell us a little bit about the island? What makes Mackinac Island such a unique location in terms of paranormal activity?
Well, it's a very historic location. You go back, the oldest, not like verbal stories and history dates, the carbon dating and all that, people have been on the island for roughly 8,000 years.
Wow.
Started with Native American tribes, and then the British and Americans and French, and everyone's had a foothold there at some point. And the activity seems to be very strong. One, obviously, the history. Second, I would say it is the fact that the island is limestone and quartz, which if anyone's familiar with, like, Stanley Hotel and everything like that, the activity tends to spike around those types of deposits.
So how is it then that a gentleman from the downstate area, closer to the Detroit area, finds his living, if you will, or at least a good chunk of your life on Mackinac Island and giving ghost tours?
Well, it's a weird story.
That's what we love here.
Stories are, but my family had a cottage just south of Mackinac City when I was a kid, and we used to spend a lot of time on the island, and every now and then we'd spend a weekend on the island while we sort of a vacation from a vacation. And 1 year I was, we were on the island at Mission Point Resort. I was 12 years old, and we were sitting out by the pool, middle of the day, July. I look up at the bluffs, and I see a man standing at the edge looking back at me. You could see through him. He wasn't solid. My mom was sitting right next to me. And I go, Mom, did you see that? And it was gone. So that was where my paranormal life pretty much got started.
And Mission Point's been a special place to you since then.
Yep. It's been kind of my headquarters of ghost hunting, if you will. I've done hundreds of investigations there. I've found evidence, everything you could imagine. The only thing I haven't had is the one-on-one, face-to-face conversation where I could see the ghost and talk to him at the same time.
And Tim and I have been lucky enough to investigate there a couple times ourselves. And the activity there and just the energy. We captured things within a few hours that we normally don't capture on multiple investigations put together. You actually appeared on an episode of Ghost Hunters from Mission Point Resort.
Yes, it did. It was that was a lot of fun. They got great evidence. And I wish I could have... But I know they have to get their own evidence. But if I could have given them some of the things that we've caught over the years.
Well, some of the shadow figures that you guys have captured at Mission Point, you also have one audio file that I've heard a few times. And every time I hear it, it gives me chills. It's that high-pitched scream, I believe it is, or something like that, correct?
We've gotten those. We've gotten gunfire. We've had just regular... boys, girls, men, women. We have a woman singing, warming up her voice. I mean, we've had so many different things.
I think it speaks volumes that somebody like in this field that's along the lines that Amy Bruni is, that she keeps coming back to Mission Point. She brings her Strange Escapes crew in, her Adam Berry, Chip Coffey, John Tenney, the whole group. And this is going to be the second fall coming up here in a few weeks. Tim and I will be there. I know you will do an investigation and allow some public to come in on this investigation at Mission Point Resort of someone like Amy, who could get in literally almost anywhere in the U.S. to do an investigation, keeps coming back to Mackinac Island.
It's a fun place. I mean, when you're investigating, the island doesn't let people down very often. Mm-hmm. And when you're not investigating, just walk around, see the site.
Yeah.
Have some fudge.
Watch out for the horse droppings.
Well, it's not just ghost stories on the island, though, either, Todd. Tell us a little bit about the ferries of Mackinac Island. And I'm not talking about the boat you're riding over on.
I understand. the ferries on the island, we have a cryptid. And it's known worldwide. The most common term is the will-o'-the-wisp. Mm-hmm. We think it's similar, if not the same thing. And it's hard to explain exactly what it is, but when you see it, you know what you see. Mm-hmm. It's a ball of light that comes out of nowhere. It's not a firefly. It's usually the size of a golf ball to a basketball. It's white, yellow, or blue, or a shade in between one of those colors. And it usually lasts 5 seconds, maybe a minute, and they move around. Sometimes they'll come towards you, sometimes they'll go away from you, sometimes it's like they're trying to lead you to something, and then, oops, they're gone. They look kind of like an exploding cotton ball.
How frequently are these reported?
Every summer we get people who have seen them, and the funny thing is, I have not publicly talked about this one yet, but a week ago I had one come right in front of me.
What was your gut feeling at the time? Was that apprehension? Were you scared? Well, was it exciting?
I was excited and scared at the same time because I wasn't ready for it. I'm walking back to my house. It's dark. I have to walk past the Grand Hotel, up one of the bluffs, and I'm all alone. It's almost 1 in the morning. It's dark. And I was probably about 75 yards past the edge of the Grand on one of the bluffs, and I saw something pop into my peripheral vision on my right, maybe about 15 feet away. It's about the size of a golf ball. And I noticed it, and I'm just looking, and all of a sudden, it went by me, maybe 3 feet in front of me, about eye level. It's so fast, I could not even believe how fast this thing moved. I was like, it's not a bird, it's not a bat, it's not a bug, because it wasn't very solid. It was kind of fuzzy, just like they look, and it went right out towards the lake, over the edge of the bluff, through the air.
Now, do you have people on the Haunts of Mackinac tours that report seeing these?
Occasionally. We've had a couple sightings on tours. Well, maybe more than a couple sightings on tours. We had an 80-year-old woman that was on a tour once, saw one come up out of the ground, about 3 feet above the ground, moved around a little bit, and then right back down the ground. And her language was not the language you'd hear out of an 80-year-old woman.
Have you or anyone who has witnessed these, Todd, ever felt like or experienced anything negative from them?
I haven't. I've heard stories of them leading people into a certain doom that kind of goes with the legends and the historical stories of them. Some are protecting you. There's a story I've heard that one person was walking on a path late at night, and it was going to go off a bluff, and this thing popped up in front of them, backed them away, lit up the ground enough that they could see that the path ended at the edge of a cliff.
Todd Clements is our guest right now inside the creaking door. He is the author of Haunts of Mackinac and Haunts of Mackinac, The Next Chapter. Two great books which really bring you inside some of the best haunted stories and legends and lores of the very famous Mackinac Island. Now, Todd, I got to wonder how much, even though Mackinac Island has a wonderful energy, it's very known to be haunted. But even the few times that Brad and I have been over there investigating, sometimes you still get those people who don't want to be associated with it. You've got to be known as guy who owns the walking tours now and who is the author of the books. Are there certain people who you know, just, we're not going to go around and ask them for stories?
Yeah, there's a few. There's a handful that are just like, we're not going to talk about that. We don't believe in that. And it's all a bunch of hooey and whatever. I've had the word poppycock used at me once.
Poppycock. Were they English?
When you break out the poppycock, you know things about stuff's about to go down.
Oh, yeah.
Poppycock.
But it's funny how many of the locals that don't want to be associated with ghost stories have ghost stories, and they tell me.
Yeah, absolutely.
But they'll say, just don't tell anybody I told you this.
Right. Yep. Absolutely. That stigma, if you will always be associated with this field.
Mm-hmm. So you hear those, yep, from some of the locals. What about some of the people that have been along on the Haunts of Mackinac tours? What kind of experiences have you had reported from people while on the tours? Because there have to be plenty.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot. We get a lot of photos. Of course, we get the orbs. Mm-hmm. And we say it's a souvenir photo. We don't put a whole lot of stock in those.
Gotta love the orbs.
We've had some photos that are very good photos that I've tried to recreate, tried to figure out how it was done. I've been there when some of them have been taken and known it wasn't a hoax. Full body shadow, figures, apparitions, people have had run-ins. There's a little girl that sometimes will peek around corners of people, and groups of people, 10, 20 people will see it. And they'll all point and say, is she part of the tour?
She is now.
Yep.
Yeah.
Now, Todd, out of all the research you've done, being involved with, you know, and owning the Haunts of Mackinac walking tours, writing these books, all the research you have done, is there any story and maybe even experiences while you're researching it that you've come in contact with that you're like, you know what, that's too either dark or creepy, or I just don't like that story, I've got a bad feeling about it. Is there one that stands out that way for you?
There's one that I don't like. It deals with a demon. And it was actually one of the former mayors of the island. He ran a bed and breakfast. He had a restaurant. And he had an experience with something that was dark, evil. He said it looked like a man who had his back broken, and he had horns on his spinal
that
area.
That just sounds creepy.
Wow.
Just the description just doesn't feel right.
No.
Yeah.
And I don't deal with the demons. I deal with the people that have passed on. So,
yeah. Wonderful. So you're going to take the winter off now. You're coming to the end of the season on Mackinac Island. The winter's coming. You're going to rest up. Anything new in store for 2017 for Todd Clements, or maybe another third installment of the book coming out, or anything new for the walking tour? What's going to come up next year for you?
Well, every year we try and change the tour a little bit. This year we did a major change. We used to go from downtown to Mission Point, which is a mile walk there, and then they're on their own to walk a mile back. And a lot of people were like, it's just too far to walk. Mm-hmm. So we changed the route to stay downtown only.
Cut out some of the poppycock.
The half a mile trip, and it starts and ends in the same spot.
Okay. All right. So would the furthest you go towards Mission Point, say, maybe the fort, you stop at the fort?
Yep.
Yeah.
We go to the fort, we talk about that, then we head down Market Street and loop around back to Main Street. So you got two streets that we tell a lot of stories about.
Yeah, very cool. Well, if any of the listeners have not had a chance to check out this tour yet, you have to. It's one of the best. The island is one of the most fascinating places you'll ever go to. The energy, the history, the lore is second to none.
It's the biggest tourist attraction in the state of Michigan. It's right in Lake Huron. It's a beautiful location right at the start of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. And, yeah, just an amazing place overall.
So if you want to check out more... go ahead, Todd. No, go ahead.
I always want to tell people to stay overnight.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
It may cost you a little more, but the island is a completely different place at night.
Yes, it is.
And that's where I really love the island, is during the nighttime. The daytime is fantastic. It's a hustle and bustle. It's nonstop. But boy, oh boy, when that sun goes down, it is a great place. But if you want to check out more about Haunts of Mackinac and about Todd and his business and his books, you can find him at Haunts of Mackinac. That's MACKINAC.com. Hauntsofmackinac.com.
Yeah, so where else can you get the books, Todd?
We're getting it out there. Right now it's on the website, numerous locations on the island. Chippewa Gifts in St. Ignace, great little store. And a few places in Mackinac City, and it's going to be on Amazon probably next week.
So it will be on Amazon in time for the holiday season, in time for the Halloween season.
Yeah. Yep.
Awesome.
All right, check it out. Haunts of Mackinac, the next chapter is the second installment of the great ghost stories of Mackinac Island. And the author is Todd Clements. Todd, thank you so much for coming on Inside the Creaking Door with us.
Thank you for having me.
All right, there we go. Make sure you check Todd out and the gang on Mackinac Island, hauntsofmackinac.com. Well, Brad, that's going to take us to the end of our first show back, and it feels good.
It feels great to be back. Yeah,
it sure does.
To be back in.
Keep watching slackjawpunks.com on iTunes and Stitcher. Be watching for more shows coming out on a regular basis again now as we are back from our summer vacation. Even old men need a summer vacation.
Especially old men need a summer vacation.
Absolutely.
Some real big shows lined up, though. It's going to be a great Halloween season. We have a lot of speaking engagements coming up. We'll be talking a little bit about those on the next edition.
Yep.
And also follow us on Facebook. We'll be throwing our schedule out there very soon.
Yeah.
As far as what we have coming up this fall. And of course, as always, if you want to contact us, we are more than happy to come in for events, and especially in the northern Michigan area. So
yeah,
we'll
sure.
be all over the place this year. Very busy fall coming up.
Yeah, as Brad said, find us on Facebook, Creaking Door Paranormal Radio.
Mm-hmm.
We're the only one on there, so you can't miss us.
And you can pull us up at our home webpage too, of creakingdoorparanormal.com.
Yeah, so find us on the World Wide Web. We're out there. We are active. If you reach out to us, we will get back to you. As a matter of fact, make sure you send us a question or a comment for our mailbag segment as well, which is usually right here in this third segment. If you have a question or anything that we can feature on the show, we would love to. If you have a picture for our Casper or camera segment, where we allow our listeners to put their two cents in on a picture, whether it's a real ghost or maybe something to the camera, we love to do that too. So find us on social media. That is where we are, and that is where we love to be. So, wrapping up show number one, back inside the Creaking Door, on behalf of Brad Blair, myself, and the producers of the show, thank you for hanging out with us. This is Creaking Door Paranormal Radio, powered by slackjawpunks.com.
The Creaking Door.